Welcome to Band of Gamers podcast, episode number 21. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be back.
And it's great to have you back. I'm also joined by Osiris Prime.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be back, and 2 weeks in a row.
Well, it's always great having you both on the show, and I want to jump right into it. Let's talk about what we've been playing, and we'll go with you first, TB. What have you been playing?
So I have... it was my birthday last week, so I picked up a retro bit system. So it's kind of like a Retron. I'm looking at the box here, and on a podcast that doesn't help anybody, but... it's not quite the same as a Retron because it's not running an emulator. It's actually got the hardware in it. And so this is a Retrobit Trio, a super retro trio. So it's got a top-loading port for an NES, a Super NES, and a Genesis. And so I have had Super Tecmo Bowl on my list to go back to after I picked it up from the neighbor's trash, or I shouldn't say trash, it was for recycle, sitting out on the curb, but it was just sitting there along with Base Wars, which if anybody remembers Base Wars, the Konami Ultra baseball game with robots from the NES, so they were both sitting there, and I've got a bunch of other SNES games that I've been sitting around, and every time my kids and I end up going to a local game store that locally owned, or they always have a bunch of old consoles there, and they're always really jonesing to pick up or to use their money to buy a old console. And so this is a great solution. It seems to run really well. I've been able to play the two NES games on it, and the controllers that it comes with actually look like old Super Nintendo controllers and feel very similar to them. So that's been a fun blast from the past. And one of the things that it has that I'm kind of, maybe I'll come back to talk about this at another time, but I've already hinted at a Christmas present, is that it comes with a GBA player. So like the original, the Super Nintendo had the Game Boy player. This has an adapter that goes into the NES, the Super NES port, and actually plays GBA games. So I've got a bunch of those sitting around, and that may be kind of a fun thing to play with. But so that's been kind of fun to go back and play some Super Tecmo Bowl. That was, you know, it's not quite as famed as the original Tecmo Bowl in terms of taking LT and being able to blitz on the field goal, or taking Bo Jackson and snaking up and down the field. But Super Tecmo Bowl, I really enjoyed as a kid. We actually came back to it with my friends in college. We ended up having a season where we all took a different team, and this is a nice thing, right? When you're living all with a group of people all around one floor, that you can keep rotating games out, and so it had a battery in it that you could actually keep track of things. It had all the teams versus the original Tecmo Bowl, so it's fun to go back to that and kind of funny to hear my kids' reaction to what was amazing 8-bit graphics at the time. You know, they've been playing a lot of Super Mario Maker and certainly know what 8-bit graphics look like, and then to see something that's not a Nintendo product has been an interesting piece there. So that's taken up some of my free time, and that's been great to go back to. I have been picking away at Destiny. I haven't gone too far through the story. I've been playing with some friends on Casual Adult Gamers, and we've been kind of pairing up and grouping up to do the story. So I am almost at the point now where I have I can run the daily missions at light level 240, and I'm pretty close to 260 to be able to do some heroic strikes. So, but that is a sore spot, since those strikes are one. Those strikes are missing some of the classic ones. They've been pulled out of there, which is, another whole... We talked about this last week, right? Like, such a confusing mess that they've created for the haves and have-nots of Destiny. But one of the things that I have also been playing this weekend is Battlefield Hardline, and I was playing a match of that right before here. So World Voyager from Casual.Gamers and I were playing to Blood Money, which is a fun mode. So Battlefield Hardline is coming to EA Access next month. That was leaked and or announced. I guess technically it's not leaked if it comes out of EA afterward. And it's one of the new. It's a mode in there where you've got you know, a pile of money somewhere in the middle of the map, and each side has a vault that they are depositing that money into, and so it creates some really fun dynamics in terms of strategy of, do you go after the center map, do you try to sneak around the side and pick off the enemy's map, or raid the enemy's vault, so that's been fun, and we've been playing a little bit of the new maps, the Robbery, which is the second expansion off Battlefield Hardline. For premium members, it's been out, and actually this week it comes out to everybody, or at least those that purchase it. But I'm staggering here because this is the disappointing part, right? So it's a really fun and interesting game, something a little different than a full-on Battlefield, but with the premium. And one of the modes that I really enjoy, the Hotwire mode, where you're kind of driving a car, it's very Need for Speed-like. There are barely any servers up and active with that mode for just the new maps. And so that's not a great sign about how many people have premium versus those that just have the base game. So, and Gray, I know that you have the base game. Prime, I know that you have the base game. But that's an interesting piece there. Finally, and I feel like I've been talking for a while, so if anybody wants to interrupt me, please feel free. But finally, I've been hanging out with my kids this weekend today. After church, we ran to, is right? This is the split personalities of going to church and then immediately going to Best Buy to pick up a video game afterward. So, but my son had pre-ordered, my 10-year-old had pre-ordered Lego Dimensions, which is the new Toys to Life game from Lego, and he pre-ordered it with his birthday money back in July. And so he's been really itching for this and excited on it, and he came home, loaded it, he didn't even load it up. He wanted to do an unboxing video. So he did an unboxing video of Lego Dimensions and spent a good chunk of the afternoon actually just playing with the Legos. It wasn't until late in the afternoon that he even put the game in. He spent time, you get to build the base, you know, they give you instructions, and it's just a whole Lego set. Inside the box, there's the video game, and then there's an actual box that looks like you could sit on the toy shelf with all the other Lego stuff. And it's really cool, kind of creative. He's really been enjoying the actual Lego constructs of it. He did two other videos of him just narrating, putting the base together and showing stuff. So it's kind of fun. The game itself, it's a Lego game, right? We've all played a Traveler's Tales game before. I haven't played one in quite a while. But it still kind of plays out like that. The humor's great. You know, it's got Gandalf and Batman and Wildstyle from the movie, and she animates kind of like from the movie, so it's a little more stop motion versus the standard Traveler's Tales. But the humor is really fun. So I know that I'm going to be playing it some more with my kids and maybe come back to it, but right now I think my son has gotten just as much enjoyment out of the Lego aspect than the game itself. So a real mix of some classics, some first-person shooters, and some good old family time with video games as well. So that's what I've been playing. Prime, I know you have Hardline. Have you been playing that or been picking up anything else this week that you've been playing?
No, I haven't played Hardline actually quite a while. Actually, I think the last time whenever me, you, and Voyager got together... Remember the last time that was? I think that was the last time I actually played it. So, and I don't have, like I said, I don't have premium. I just have the base game. I think just like in Battlefield 4, I'll probably wait. Probably wait just for the premium to go on sale. I haven't seen it go on sale yet. At least not that I saw. And so I'll probably pick it up at some point like that. That's what I did for Battlefield 4. I just waited until it was like 30 or 40% off, 50% off, and then I picked up the premium. So, fortunately, no, I haven't played that for a while. I would like to jump on. I've seen you guys, or at least World. I don't know if I've seen both of you on at the same time, but I've seen World jump on there, and I think even Battlefield 4 too. He's jumping back on. So maybe one day I'll be able to jump back on with you guys. But for what I've been playing, first thing up, excuse me, I tried to play the beta of Rainbow Six Siege, but I never was able to actually get into a game. I think I tried, it was either Thursday night, I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday when it started. So I tried Thursday night after I had loaded it, downloaded it, and installed it. But it would just get stuck on, or not get stuck, but it would just sit trying to find, people to play with for like forever. It took maybe like 2 or 3 minutes just to find my team. And then once it did that, it was like, all right, now we're searching for, the enemy. So I was like, oh, great. Or the opposing team, I should say. So that, and then that, once again, it was sitting there for 2 or 3 minutes, and I like backed out and came back in, and it was just sitting there. So I don't know. They obviously were, it's a beta, so they're going to have problems. But hopefully they can get that all straightened out. So I never actually got a chance to play. And actually, I just tried again tonight before we started playing, and it locked up when I was trying to get into the playlist, so I never even got into the searching for players. And then besides that, I've been playing once again Minecraft for the past week or so, or a few days here and there, and play with my son this weekend, having fun in there. And then right before we started here, I was streaming a couple of games from Xbox One to my PC, Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and Minecraft. And oddly enough, I had like the most problem with Minecraft. It was like lagging really bad. So when I was playing Call of Duty, it was fine. I was jumping around and, no input lag or anything like that. But Minecraft was giving me a problem, which was kind of strange. But and then kind of to round out my playlist here, I was playing GTA 5, going through the free mode events like I spoke about last week. I was doing that again. It's really cool. So if you get a chance to play it, you'll just have events pop up, and you can do them if you want. If you don't, you can just keep going. So, played a little bit of just kind of regular missions in GTA Online that just kind of pop up. People can, they invite everybody, and if you want to do it, you can. But mostly it was the free mode events. So, and then last to round out my gaming is my backlog, which I think we'll talk about a little bit more later on. I was still playing Watch Dogs, jumping through that. I'm on Act 2 right now. I'm not sure. I keep forgetting to look up how many acts there are, but I think I just finished Act 2. So hopefully I'm almost near the end of that or coming close to the end of that. And that's about it. Something else I was going to mention, but now I forgot. So Gray, why don't you go ahead and let us know what you've been playing this week?
Yeah, so for as far as what I've been playing, I got online with one of my buddies, Macebite, on Wednesday, and we played those two Sony exclusive strikes that are now available to Xbox players, and we had fun. It was really fun. We got in there. It was something new. We had never done either of them. It was kind of like reused areas, but you get to go through them in a different order. So I enjoyed that. It was fun. And I made a mistake, though. I played it with my level 34 character, so he can't get any more experience. So I should have maybe next time I'll play it with my level 32 or 33, and get that get them all the way ranked up to 34. Not much else to do for me because I didn't buy the Taken King, and I think we kind of covered it ad nauseum already about the last two DLCs kind of getting nerfed with the latest one coming out, which was kind of odd. Thought I had fixed my Forza 6, and tried to get on tonight with the guys to play, but after the first, after about 10-20 seconds, the first turn, I kept getting dumped. So don't know what's going on there. Did some research before the podcast, and I don't know. One guy said he was doing when he switched over to Wi-Fi, he had no problems, but when he was wired, he would always have this problem. So I guess I can try that. Got in some Minecraft with the grandkids. So I have this very long between my small castle and my big castle. I have this long tramway or rail car way, and it's very narrow, and they keep falling off it. So I started expanding that while they were They were running around beating me up and beating each other up. It was kind of hilarious. Also got them into some Super Mario Brothers. I wish there was a way that you could walk through each other instead of bumping into each other in Super Mario Brothers Wii, because sometimes they just get in the way and I can't get us through the level. But in any case, that was fun. And I also have this issue. I don't know if you guys have run into this. Please let me know. But the original Xbox One controller that came with my Xbox One has a problem with the left stick that drifts up. And I've done a lot of research online, and it seems like it's just defective. There's a defective part in there. One guy shows you how to replace it. It requires soldering like 18 leads. I'm kind of like that, that's a lot of work. I just don't want my Xbox One controller to drift up anymore. So it's kind of sad because I want to buy another controller so I can play with the grandkids on the Xbox One and play that Rayman game that was free. But I already spent $50 for, one controller, and my old controller doesn't work. It's like I don't want to spend $100 to buy two more controllers. And there's not a really lot of cheap ones out there. I looked around. Lowest cost one I could find was like $39, and it's a wired one, and it doesn't have like all the it doesn't have a mic port. It's like, so I guess I won't be playing Xbox One with the kids. And I don't know if you guys have ever run into this, but it's a really annoying, and it seems like a lot of people have this problem where the old controllers start drifting. One of the little joystick starts drifting, and it's very annoying. It's an expensive piece of hardware, and they have it not, just stop working. I still have my original Xbox controllers, the brutes, the big guys, and they don't have any problems. So I don't know why my 6-month-old or I guess 1-year-old controller is not working, and I'm not very happy because it's not inexpensive. But that kind of rounds up my list of what I've been playing this week, and I think with that, let's go into the second segment. I know Prime, you had a new story you wanted to talk to, so we're going to lead it right into you. Go ahead, Osiris.
All right. So originally, I saw this on Game Politics, excuse me, GamePolitics.com, and then they had sourced Variety. So I'm just gonna kind of read off the Variety article here right now. So basically, what's happening here is TBS, or I should say Turner Broadcasting, and another company called WME/IMG are forming a new esports gaming league, and they're actually gonna broadcast these games on TBS. Next year in 2016, they didn't give like an exact time, but sometime over the year next year, they're gonna start broadcasting. They're gonna have 20 live events, so it's basically just gonna be a tournament. So the regular just kind of tournament gameplay, and then semifinal or quarterfinals, semifinals, and then finals. And they're gonna be for the first season is what they're calling it. They're gonna broadcast Counter-Strike. Global Offensive from Valve, or Counter-Strike Go, as I think most people say it. So they're going to be broadcasting that, and then they're also going to have online other online events. They didn't really specify if it's going to be related to Counter-Strike or if they're going to just have like smaller events with other games, maybe. Like kind of in between each week, in between each show. So they're going to do that, and then just kind of have behind the scenes of kind of like how they're putting everything together and just kind of interviewing like the different contestants or the different teams that are playing and other things like that. So I just find it kind of interesting that I don't say major broadcast, but at least major cable company is going to start showing esports. And I know they kind of dabbled in it. I guess I think it was ESPN. They kind of did. I think it was earlier this year, maybe. Maybe even during the summer, I can't remember exactly, but they had some esports going on, and I don't remember. See, I think it says in the article. Oh, Heroes of the Storm they're highlighting, and I know some of the personalities, I guess if you want to call them, from ESPN kind of I want to say this slightly kind of poo-pooed it. Basically, they're just kind of complaining that this esports is not a sport, so they're kind of downplaying it and just making fun of it. And there's a big thing on Twitter and all these other social media things that kind of blew up on. But I just thought it was kind of interesting, and it was kind of weird because other than that Game Politics, I didn't see it anywhere else, like on any other of the game game websites, so it's just kind of weird that no one else kind of covered this. I figured it would be kind of a big thing since it's, you know, obviously TBS is not super huge, but, you know, they have some original shows and stuff like that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that they're going to bring out esports and try to get in the mainstream, basically. I don't know if you guys saw this article or kind of what your thoughts might be on it.
I haven't really heard anything about it, Prime. I think that's really interesting, though. I mean, I keep saying interesting tonight, and it's probably because I just got done listening to another podcast where they were talking about language. But, truthfully, I think it's kind of exciting to have a major cable network player pick up esports and run with it, right? I think that Counter-Strike's a great way to do that. There's a strong, established community. Truthfully, it also has name recognition that there's probably some lapsed players who played the original Counter-Strike back in college, and may even, if they advertise for it right, they may even grab some of those people who may have heard of it at one point in time back in the, you know, back when it was a mod and an expansion to the original Half-Life. So it could be really interesting, you know, with that ramping up, and here's the Storm in League of Legends and Dota in terms of those spaces, and it sure sounds like Halo 5 is going to make a push for esports as well with their $1 million or more. It could be really interesting to see where this... It could be kind of fun. I'll change my word from interesting to fun. It could be kind of fun to see where this goes.
Gray, how about you? Any thoughts?
No, I think it will be very interesting. I'm picturing Counter-Strike, and I don't think I could watch Counter-Strike. Those maps haven't changed very much over the years. But just sitting back thinking what I would enjoy. I know I've caught a couple of StarCraft matches, and I found them very interesting. I think with everybody doing Let's Plays and streaming their own gaming, there's going to, you know, the cream's going to rise to the top. There's going to be some really great entertainment there, you know. And I think the games and there's still some, I think, room for improvement or room for maturity. Like I'm thinking Rainbow Six Siege would probably be an excellent one because you could have, you know, you try being the terrorist and then you try being the police. And I think that would be a very, team-orientated type of, you know, Team A versus Team B match. And I think that could be very interesting. And plus, it's fast. So people, you know, you get that, you know, American Ninja Warrior type fast-paced action out of it. So no, I think it's good. I think it's good. And look forward to see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I think it's smart to do something like Counter-Strike, something kind of faster and, you know, a shooter. And then, I don't know, maybe with when ESPN did the Heroes of the Storm, maybe that wasn't kind of the best game to kind of show off, just kind of, you know, as far as excitement and stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's a good game. I've never played it, but, you know, and I know a lot of people like it, but, you know, they might have had some, I don't want to say they didn't, I'm not really sure if the audience or if the, what am I trying to say here, the ratings were, you know, bad or good. I never really heard anything about that. It was mostly just kind of when the different personalities were kind of downplaying it. But, you know, as far as like ratings and stuff, I don't know if they never really said, or at least that I saw, you know, if they were good or not. So I don't know, maybe this will kind of bring this kind of thing into the mainstream. I try to watch some esports sometimes every once in a while, even just kind of Twitch stuff. And it's, I don't know, I just kind of get bored after a while to kind of watching people play. So, which is weird because I like to stream stuff, but I, you know, I don't like to watch it. So it's just kind of a weird quagmire thing there, I guess. So any other thoughts? Otherwise, DB, if you got any new...
Yeah, no, I want to just add another thought here before I jump to another news topic. But I think what you said, Prime, is a really a key piece of maybe where esports and the challenge that it's had with ratings should consider. The idea of Heroes of the Storm, while it may be a really accessible MOBA, and I have actually just started going back to it a little bit, you know, after I talking about it for chunks of this summer, but it comes with a whole MOBA-based vocabulary. The whole idea of killing these guys and having to destroy this base and different characters, and even if it's accessible, there's a huge vocabulary that comes along with it. And for somebody just flipping channels and seeing it, it's not very accessible at all. Where something like Counter-Strike, or like you mentioned, Gray, Rainbow Six Vegas, everybody's watched a cop show at some point in time, or an action movie, and being able to just watch that and have that cultural touchstone in context means that the commentators don't necessarily have to explain what's going on, but can kind of sit back and enjoy it with the audience, or maybe talk about strategy, but they don't have to be even explaining the game. And so maybe this is where esports has the potential, because it's something that somebody can flip through and sit and watch a little bit and understand enough of what's supposed to be going on to hang out a little bit longer. So I've got a couple stories here. Nothing huge. It's, you know, this is the fall. There's not a whole lot of big news items that are going on. The two that I have aren't super fancy. There's a Kotaku article, an interview with Luke Smith out of Bungie, and not to really hang on Destiny too much, because we, as Gray said, we did talk about it a lot last week, but one of the things the article hits on and what it talks about and is that the Bungie devs knew kind of out the door that the whole light level system and the chaos that being capped at level 20 and then having to grind gear and all the other confusion that the light level system brought last year, they knew it was flawed and that they were working on trying to get people ready for this new system. And I think it just goes back to saying, you know, that the Taken King, if the Taken King would have been the game that it launched last year, you know, I think people would be a whole lot more satisfied with it. The other piece is, as somebody who is a PlayStation Vita owner, there's an article and interview coming out of that from Sony execs. It's the European, there was a European PlayStation event, and Shuhei Yoshida, the, you know, the big boss at Sony, or at least at the PlayStation branch of it. Again, this is not surprising, right? That there's not a successor to the PlayStation Vita, or that is very unlikely. And anybody who's aware of the mobile market, that shouldn't be a surprise at all. Even Nintendo's 3DS, which has seen some increase in sales, is still, you know, is not doing what the DS did, because the mobile market is different. So, and Zeus, who's not here tonight, definitely has some key pieces, you know, in terms of, he's talked about mobile gaming and that space and his NVIDIA Shield. So, you know, again, it's not that surprising that a dedicated gaming platform on handheld is struggling or is not going to see anything. The one other piece that I want to follow up with, and this really isn't news, but let's call it a public service announcement. Gray, you talked about trying to find a good Xbox One controller that is, you know, used or slightly used and at a reasonable price. And so where I've been picking up a lot of my both hardware and software, the place I picked up my retro bit that I was talking about earlier is on Amazon warehouse deals. So Amazon has their outlet and open box deals. A lot of times they're damaged packages that are, you know, large discounts. So I actually last season, talking about backlog in gaming, last season I ended up picking up a bunch of stuff through that way because they were just, you know, dinged up boxes, or somebody had sliced a box cutter in a little too deep, and across the middle of the case, there's a knife slash. And so it's a brand new game, but it's $15 off or more. And so that's on Amazon, right? We all know how to get to Amazon, but under, usually it's under today's deals, and there's open box, or it's their warehouse deals. So that's always a good place, Gray, and I've seen Xbox One controllers there for maybe $38, but it's the full-on Microsoft brand you know, wireless controllers. So that's a place to think about as well. So now I'll bump it back to you, Gray.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Now, if you're going to go shopping at Amazon, I'd like to encourage you to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's in my signature up at bandofgamers.net as well as casualadultgamers.com. And basically what that does is if you use our affiliate link before you go shopping at Amazon, you will earn us a small commission, which we can then use to make the show better and make the website better. And you still get the same great deals you always get. So bookmark that link when you go shopping at Amazon and help our show grow and help our website grow. Hey, you know, I just wanted to go back, you know, thinking about leveling and Destiny and the original leveling, and it was great leveling through experience to 20. And then we had light, and we had to get light for our armor, and we had to grow that. And you know, at first, you know, like it kind of made sense. You had Ascendant Charge. You had Ascendant Energy. And that kind of made sense to me. And I didn't do the Vault of Glass, so I didn't really get a lot of that stuff. But I think where I found things getting confusing was when they added the Dark Below, they added new materials. So you had Ascendant Shards, Ascendant Energy, then you had Radiant Shards and Radiant Energy. And I'm like, oh, wow, now this is confusing. And then with House of Wolves, they added Etheric Light and something else. And I was like, okay, really confused here, guys. And I think you know, it just makes the game more complicated when you do that. And they did really depreciate the old stuff. I mean, a lot of the old stuff got depreciated. Not horribly slow, but they were depreciated. They couldn't rank up as high as your new stuff. But I think with the Taken King, I'm noticing, and even anybody playing now, you're going to pick up rare or uncommon pieces that are better than your exotics. So it really does reset the game and just raises it to a whole nother level. But I thought initially it wasn't so bad, you know, but I think every iteration they just made it more and more complicated. But having said that, I guess with everybody having a smartphone, you know, it would be hard. I can definitely see where does a dedicated console fit in when everybody has a smartphone that's as capable as a Vita. You know, maybe it doesn't have the buttons on it, but it's as capable as from a processor and from a screen. So yeah, very tough market. I guess with that, if you guys don't mind, let's move into our final segment here and talk about managing backlogs. Now, DB, you had put together a nice article about this over at casualadultgamers.com. Why don't you kick it off and tell us your thoughts and thoughts about this topic?
Oh, backlog. I have had so many wonderful attempts at trying to manage my backlog. I can remember years of putting together spreadsheets after the holidays of here's all the games that I have and the different systems and even charting them out by the month that I hope to get them through. And then in the last couple years, I've had New Year's resolutions of I'm not going to buy anything new until I clean out a certain amount of my backlog. And like every other New Year's resolution related to, you know, fitness or health or everything else, it falls by the wayside when that new flashy thing comes along. First new big release comes out and I see it used on Amazon or in the warehouse deals for a super discount price, and how do you pass that up? And so, or I pick up a game as, you know, as Prime has scolded me before, picking up a game used from Gamefly, you know, a brand new case and a used disc, and finding a game that's, you know, less than 6 months old, but is only $15. And how do you pass that up? And so I've ended up with a really big backlog, and I have respected Prime and envied him as you put together this backlog. But now as we're coming into the fall here, our news segments are short because everybody's just releasing stuff. The calendar gets even more loaded coming up here, and I see things, shiny, tempting new things like Transformers Devastation coming out in another week or so that wasn't even on my radar. And so now I'm thinking about how do you balance your backlog with the new releases? And how much of that is a matter of keeping up with the Joneses in terms of wanting the new shiny fancy experience? How much of it is an economic issue of I'm going to play through what I have and wait until I can find a used copy or find it on the discount rack much later on? And how much of that is just acknowledging, like we have, of that if this is our hobby, that picking up a game and having multiple weeks, you know, one night a week or a couple nights over the course of a month is cheaper than going out with friends to a bar somewhere. So I threw this out to the community in terms of how do you balance that and where do you put your priorities on moving through the backlog, or does it limit the number of new games you buy? And so I wanted to bring this back up and ask you guys. You know, for me right now, I'm looking at the fall and I have Mario Maker, I have The Taken King, there's plenty of game in both of those. I'm excited and kind of a little hesitant about Battlefront, but after that, there's a lot of games that I want to play. Tomb Raider, Halo, Fallout, but they're also games that I feel like I can wait on. So my fall game release list is really trimming down, and it's causing me to think more about my backlog. So I'm going to throw this to you, Prime, because, like I said, I have envied your backlog stick-to-itiveness. And so where do you balance yourself in terms of moving through that backlog versus the next new shiny thing that's coming out?
So when I decided to start going back through my backlog the beginning of this year, maybe even late last year, like December or so, I didn't do anything like super complicated like spreadsheets and all that like you were trying to do and doing, you know, like New Year's resolutions. I just went back into my account, into my Microsoft account, and just looked what I had purchased, started from the oldest thing, and just, you know, started working my way up. Basically, it was kind of just that simple. I wasn't going to try to do, let me just do, all the, like the arcade games or the smaller indie games first, or, do this and that. I just, I'm just going to start from, where I started when I got the system originally, and just, work my way up. Until hopefully one day maybe I'll actually, catch up and, I'll be, maybe, once Battlefront comes up, I'll have, everything back, all my backlog finished, which I doubt because it's pretty big. But, just as an example, someday something like that hopefully will happen. And then as far as like kind of just what I'm going to buy in the future, I think a lot of it helps that with the Xbox One now that you kind of get free games, you get two free games a month that obviously in and out, you're not going to get, every game that comes out, but that's kind of helping with not having to purchase some stuff, especially like, the smaller indie titles, which I probably never even would have bought before. But now, I'll have other games that I could just fall back on and, try jump into every once in a while and stuff like that. And I usually only buy like a handful of games anyways throughout the year. Unless something's like, on super sale. Xbox usually has like one or two times a year that they actually have, really big sales. I think once in the summer and then maybe, around Christmas and stuff like that. So it kind of makes it easy if I want to pick up anything that's a little bit older that maybe I missed or something. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I try not to go with, too complicated with it. And like I said, I just, as far as my backlog, I just start from the beginning and, work my way up. And I'll hit.
So you're saying that I'm just over-solving?
Yes, you're overthinking. So, like right now, I did kind of modify it because I was originally going to throw in the indie titles in there, but I think I'm just going to go like through the major titles. So I did modify it a little bit because obviously with the Xbox One you know, games with gold, you're going to get two games, or at least one game, you know, a month that's like an indie title. And those are usually pretty small. So I think I'm going to go through like the main, I guess if you want to call it like AAA titles first, and then I'll go back and, you know, jump through the indie titles, or maybe even, you know, every once in a while I'll just jump into an indie title just to try something completely new or different. So how about you, Gray? Well, I'm sure you have like a huge backlog, because I think you've mentioned in the past that you actually even have games still wrapped up that you never even opened.
Yeah, no, that's true, and that's really been a lesson for me. Over the last decade of collecting both movies and games, I'm at the point now where I'm a collector and I like collecting stuff, especially the older stuff. But at this point, I think I've convinced myself to go 100% digital on all my Xbox One games. I just don't like having to get up and keep swapping the games around. I like having everything loaded on the hard drive. I at some point will need a newer hard drive. But I actually pre-ordered Siege, Rainbow Six Siege, and then canceled it because I realized the pre-order that I was going to get a discount on Amazon on was a physical copy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want a bunch of physical copies anymore. And I'll see Steam's games go on sale for a buck or two, and I'm like, you know what, for a buck or two, add it to my library. I may never get to play it, but if I do, or if I'm bored one day, I'll just shoot it up, fire it up and play it. So I think as far as I'm concerned, I've given up on the backlog. I think I have too many games. If every game takes 8 hours, I have too many games. I can never catch up. Then you look at the sports games. The sport games are much more than 8 hours, I think, in most cases. So I think I've kind of given up on the backlog, and I've tried to be more. I try not to look at the sales anymore. I don't look at the sales papers. I try not to look at the daily deals or the sales, because I am one of those people that will get suckered in. If it's a really good price, I'll buy it, And so I try to just try not to look at that stuff and look forward, be honest with myself and say, look, I don't have a lot of time, What are the two or three games I can, maximum play, at a time? And that's why I'm looking forward. I'm like, I always buy every Halo. I'm a huge Halo fan. I've been playing some Master Chief Collection here and there, so I'll definitely get Halo 5. Although I'm kind of disappointed Battlefront and Rainbow Six are coming around at the same time. I do think Battlefront's going to be extremely popular with, I assume, probably upwards of 75% of my friends list are going to get that. So I'm definitely going to get that. Don't know if it'll have staying power, but I think it's going to be definitely a few months of fun. But I guess I do want to go back. I actually do want to go back and, starting with the very first console I've had, and just go through the top games. I want to find a time. I want to pick a time each week just to go back and play some of those older games, just to kind of relive those old memories. And, not only myself, but with my grandchildren too, just to kind of just have some fun with them as well. But no, those are kind of my thoughts. DB, what do you think?
I think we're all kind of approaching it from different ways, which is cool. I think, and that's probably a good representation of different gamers too, right? Gray, you're acknowledging and just kind of leaning into it. You're a collector. It's going to be worth your money. It's going to be something that somebody's going to come back and play. That prime you're talking about, whether or not you pick up a whole lot or you focus on backlog of new games, of big titles, but you know that, for everybody out there between PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold, that there are a slow, steady drip of indie titles that are coming every month, they're twice a month, for people to kind of pick up and play with. So there's always something new. If you're on Xbox One, certainly EA Access for $30 is going to give you a ton of games and an instant backlog. The one thing, so this is, and where I fall on it, I think, is my backlog has oscillations that I get a whole bunch, and then I decide, oh, I'm not actually going to play this, and am I really going to hold on to it and play it or not? And then I start selling stuff off. And, for pretty much the last 8 years or so, I've been able to support the majority of my gaming hobby by buying and selling games, or amiibo, or, you know, picking up other stuff in, along with games and systems and reselling them, and having the hard physical copy there for me, Gray, has been a benefit. That it was easy for me to pull the trigger on The Taken King and the DLC because I could sell my physical copy and get $20 back off that price. You know, I have purchased Battlefield 4 in a Gamefly sale, and for what? Like $16, because, oh, I'm going to play this online with people and friends, and never really got around to it, and sold it for $15. And so my amount of money that I'm out is not a whole lot. You know, it's kind of like the equivalent of a rental. As corner video game stores and corner video stores have gone by the wayside, you know, I was a kid who, growing up, didn't have a whole lot of games and rented a lot, and so maybe I'm overcompensating for that now. But I'm also, you know, I am not holding on to a whole lot. My backlog for Xbox One is bigger on the digital side than it is on the physical side, because I'm just selling off the physical stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at with it, is that I am acknowledging that backlog is still going to be real, but I also know my limitations, or at least I pretend to, right? I'm sure next week when we record, I will talk about this brand new game that I bought and played it, and now it's sitting on a shelf, and my backlog still sits there. So I think it's kind of fun to hear how people talk to tackle it or to acknowledge it in different ways, and we all experience our hobbies and our media in different ways. So that's really cool. That's really neat.
So I guess one question I had for you guys is, do you have like a set time when you game, or is it just kind of whenever you get a chance?
So as a father of two and a parent and a somewhat gainfully employed person, my availability of gaming usually runs later at night. And so I have maybe an hour a day that I'm gaming, maybe more some nights, maybe I'm exhausted and there's no time. And so I think that for me, this last year is probably why Destiny has struck a chord, is because I can log in, play a little bit, you know, or the same reason with Heroes of the Storm. I can log in, play a 20-30 minute match, and feel like I'm progressing, and put it down and move on, versus a big story campaign where I'm stuck in the middle of something for too late at night, or if somebody needs me, I can't get up and go. How about you, Gray? When do you find time?
You know, I've going all the way back to the when internet gaming really first started, and I first started playing back in the post-Doom days, when we had reliable dial-up. You know, I've been a scheduled guy. You know, I like to pick a night or two a week to get on with friends. Right now I do like Sunday night around the podcast, and then I do Wednesdays, typically with my buddy Mace Bite. And so I'm more of a scheduled guy. My wife is very impulsive, so I like to give her a heads up, hey, I'm not available this night and this night, just to let her know. I do find a lot more ad hoc time in the winter when there's not a lot of stuff going on outside, not a lot of yard work to do, not a lot of stuff to do in the house. You know, it's also darker out at night here, up here in the Northeast, so, you know, my wife goes to bed earlier, so I'll find more ad hoc time in the winter. It's tough in the summer, especially with camping. We camp most weekends. So, but yeah, I've really gone all the way back. We used to run back before even CAG existed, back when it was just me, Spyro, and Oddlaw. We used to run a Tuesday night league and a Wednesday night league and play Call of Duty, the original Call of Duty, and play some of the old Rainbow Six games like Raven Shield. And so that's kind of how I've been. How about did we get everybody? Prime, you already kind of went. DB, you already went too, right? So that's kind of everybody.
Yeah, I was the one that posed the question. I was just wondering. I didn't actually say what I do. So the majority of the time is mostly on the weekends and late at night. So kind of an in-between both of you, I guess. It's not really scheduled, I guess. But, you know, just if I have, if I'm not too tired on, like, Friday or Saturday, I'll stay up until, like, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 in the morning, you know, and play for, you know, a few hours. And usually what I do is I'll start off with my backlog game, which in this case is Watch Dogs. And, you know, I'll play that for 45 minutes, an hour, depends on how involved I get into it. And then after that, I might jump into usually some kind of online game, like either Call of Duty or GTA or something like that nowadays. So I kind of split my time that way. So it's, like I said, it's kind of a cross between both of you guys. And then, you know, every once in a while I get some time during the week, depending on if, you know, I'm not doing anything, if my wife's not doing anything, then I'll jump online. So it was just, that's kind of how I get to actually go through my backlog, because I have those few hours, you know, on the weekends and, you know, late at night that I can try to get, you know, get to that game at least for an hour or so. So it was just interesting to see.
Do either of you guys have, like, a regular, like, after school, after supper time with the kids? I know you both play with your kids. Do you guys do anything on a regular basis, like after supper?
Not really gaming. I mean, we do a little bit. In my family, in my household here, our gaming time is, the kids play a little bit after school before they've done some homework, and our after supper time usually is playing outside, or, you know, when the weather's good, it's taking the dogs for a walk. In the wintertime, Gray, you're exactly right. You know, here in the Midwest, it gets cold and dark, and so, yeah, then it becomes, you know, we've played a lot of kind of active games or music games in terms of, like, Rock Band or Guitar Hero or Kinect, sports and things like that. So I have had some time with the kids, but not a huge chunk of time. It's more of, video games have taken the place of Saturday morning cartoons in our house, and so it usually becomes a time then when there's not a whole lot going on that I sit down and play with my kids. How about you, Prime?
As far as gaming, well, as far as, like, after supper, it's kind of the same thing. It's just, you know, either we go outside or, you know, we might watch TV or something like that. But as far as gaming, he's still pretty young. He's not even 5 yet, so I usually just try to regulate it to the weekends and, you know, only for like a half hour, 45 minutes or so. Just, you know, like I said, he's still pretty young. So, yeah, that's about it.
Anything else on this topic, guys, you want to talk about before we wrap it up? It's getting kind of late.
No, I think the only other thing I'll say is if anybody is interested in chiming in, that Casual Adult Gamers and the forums there are a great place to continue discussions like this, to share experiences with like-minded people or people in similar family life situations that can appreciate the time or being able to either schedule or carve out time. So it's a great way to keep some of these conversations going.
And just one last thing, Gray, I didn't get to mention before. I did actually have the same problem with my controller. It was my day one controller. I think it was drifting down, not up. And I just eventually had to, and it didn't do it all the time. So I traded it in at GameStop, and I got one of the new, I can't remember what they're called. It's the newer one with that has both the old audio jack and then the new 3.5, or I shouldn't say new, but the 3.5 millimeter jack. Connection. So that's how I solved my problem. I didn't try to fix it or anything, because it's not as easy to get into this controller as the 360 one was, which I've done before. Just kind of cleaned it out and stuff like that. So,
you know, that's not a bad idea. They do have a refurbishing program. I remember somebody did a story on it. They have a big warehouse where they do refurbishing and whatnot. So not a bad idea at all, Prime. Thank you. That's a good one. Well, guys, always appreciate you coming out for the podcast. It was great. I really appreciate the conversation. And at this point, I think we're going to call it a show. If you, the listener, would like to, you know, get involved in the conversations. But you can visit us the podcast site at bandofgamers.net and comment on the podcast directly. And with that, we're going to call it the end of this podcast. I want to thank you for listening. Until the next time we talk, peace.